You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Have a little listen to James Taylor, and we'll be right back with Gavin MacLeod, folks.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds watching over their flocks by night, out of the darkness shone a heavenly light. Feared and they trembled high above the earth, sang out an angel chorus telling of the Savior's birth. Oh, tell it on the mountain, over the hills.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be one fast-paced show today. So many guests, so many people we have just thoroughly enjoyed over this past year. And one of them being this gentleman, Gavin MacLeod. Many of you, of course, will remember Gavin from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where he played Murray Slaughter, or Captain Steubing from The Love Boat. I mean, he's done a whole bunch of other things. But I think probably the most famous thing he's ever done was he was a guest on The Drew Marshall Show.
That is the truth.
Isn't that right up there?
I'm going to tell it on the mountain.
How good is that song by James Taylor, eh?
Oh, man. It's just something else. It's just beautiful and pure, and it just gets to your heart. And it's the truth. Boy, Jesus Christ is born.
Merry Christmas, Gavin. Merry
the
Christmas.
Same to you, Drew. It's so nice to talk to you again.
You know, look, I interview a lot of people throughout the year.
I know.
And there's very few people I just feel a little something with, a little connection. And you're one of them.
Oh,
Gavin,
thank you so much.
You just have, I mean, I'm sure everybody feels that way about you.
Well, I don't know, but I've always felt that way about you.
Oh, stop.
Because there are some people, this is the truth, because sometimes you can do an interview or do 15 interviews, and it's nice, and it's okay, and it's very professional, and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, you've made your points. But you, because Jesus is right in the middle of us, you know, it's very, very special.
It's a good thing. It's a good
Amen.
Thing. Well, listen, let me just ask you a few questions. I want to find out about all the children. I think if I've got my numbers right, do you not have seven children?
Seven children and nine grandchildren now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in fact, I've been wrapping presents early this morning and late last night.
Is Stephanie not still doing a bit of acting?
No, she doesn't. She retired from that many years ago.
Okay.
She is now in... She's an interior designer in Carmel, California.
All right. She goes into Clint's house and, you know, does a little decorating, does she?
Well, you know, her husband knows Clint, and I know Clint, you know. But they actually live in Monterey. He is the athletic director at Santa Catalina, a Catholic school for kids.
Oh, great.
Kindergarten to eighth grade.
Oh, good for him.
Through high school.
Yeah.
And so that's what he does there. And then my oldest grandson, who is theirs, goes to a fabulous school down in, let me see, it's Rhodes College. It's a very special school, 1,600 students. Down in Memphis.
Memphis, okay.
Memphis.
Yeah.
It takes a while at my age. You have to coordinate things, ideas. Anyway, so Mac is on a scholarship, and he's just won another national scholarship. So he goes to Rome in January for 5 months to study there.
You know, the thing I love about talking with people who have children and grandchildren is they can just go on, and I'm not saying you're going on too long, but I love listening to people going on about their grandkids. It's tremendous.
Well, we keep doing. I mean, you know, Shirley Boone gave us a pillow once, and it said if we knew grandkids were so wonderful, we'd have them first. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it is great. You know, you're very boastful and proud. And his sister, as a matter of fact, was accepted in a college down here run by the Jesuits. Yeah. And so, you know, we're very proud of all of our grandkids and our kids themselves, you know.
Yeah. Listen, Gavin, tell me about the Christmas Cruise in 1986.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this the one Mickey Rooney was on?
I think so.
Well, it was the one that I think it might have been the one that we did so many of them, Drew. But I think it might have been the one that I was very happy about when I played Santa Claus to a bunch of orphans.
That's right.
And I think Mickey Rooney came aboard the ship and all of this, and he actually, at the end, after he left, I looked at the top of the tree, and there was the angel, and the angel was Mickey Rooney.
Oh, wow.
He had been an angel who had come down, and it was a very special show. And I remember there was one little boy who was very difficult to, who was very much like a young, I used to represent Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska, and one of my trips up there many years ago, I met, there was one little boy, and I would go to classrooms and talk and so forth, and I forget, something happened. I was handing out things, and he eventually said something, and I said, well, I just thought he was another one of the kids. But the teacher came over and said, whatever you did, that's the first time he's ever spoken here.
Wow.
And it was a great moment. Anyway, wow. It just sort of reminded me of when we did that Love Boat episode. There was one kid that had a very difficult time fitting in with everybody else.
Sure.
And so the captain had a heart for him and gave him one of his big, whatever those things are that real captains use to find out if they're going right or wrong or north or south at one of those things.
Right. I think back in the day they might have been called a compass, you know. I think
no,
now
it's not a compass. It's more complicated.
Oh, those nautical compasses,
yes,
maybe.
That's
yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very nice. And so he gave it to the kid, and the kid finally broke the kid, you know.
Ah, good, good.
Everybody needs love, let's face it, you know.
Yeah.
And
you know, I wonder what Christmas would be like if Murray Slaughter and Captain Steuben got together. Would it be like The Odd Couple, or did they have some similarities?
Well, I think they had a lot of similarities. I think the one basic thing that they had that I think would work is their respect for other people.
Yeah.
And their caring for other people. They were both that kind of, I mean, that part of me, they tapped into the characters. Of course, Captain Stubbe in the beginning, the pilot, I mean, he was the scourge of the seven seas. He was just a very mean kind of guy.
And they changed that.
We had to change it because it was, if we wanted the series to go, we had to do it because niceness works. Like, people are watching television in hospital beds, you know, in kitchens and bedrooms all over. You know, it's a very intimate kind of way of communicating, and they don't want to have angry people coming into their house. They want to have nice, and so we sort of brought him, we changed him through, we realized that right away. As soon as they picked up the pilot, Gordon Farr, who's from Canada, said, we've got to make him nice. And so we started to, and so we got more to, I guess, tapped that part of me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That paternal thing that worked.
Well, Gavin, what was Christmas like for you growing up as a kid?
Oh, well, it was during the Depression, and my father had, he had to leave school after the fifth grade to go to work. And my mom went to the seventh grade, and she had to go to work. So they were these kind of people that never really knew some of the finer things in life, the things that I was always attracted to. That's why show business was always important to me, doing plays where I would get away from me and get away from the reality of life. I have a younger brother, 2 years younger than I, and that was us. And consequently, because of the time and then because of no education, it was a hands-to-mouth kind of thing. But we had grandparents that kind of helped us when they had the opportunity, but it was the same thing. My grandfather, he lost his house during the Depression. He was a builder, and he lost that. And when I was young, alcohol was rampant in my life. And I grew up witnessing all kinds of scenes, and these dry out places they would send my relatives to try to dry out and all that.
Boy, that just sounds
so
tough.
But anyway, Christmas, it was the best that we could ever do. And I had one uncle who I became very much like in a way, who was in the Merchant Marines. And he would be all over the world, and he would come and talk to my class, you know, in the fourth and fifth grade. And it was just, to me, enlightening to get out of the little town that we lived in, which was a precious town. But it just expanded all of my dreams too. And I said, "But I want to do that." And he was the first one to take me to a Broadway show and to take my brother and I to take out Chinese food, you know, and those kinds of things. And then at Christmas time, when he came home from all these trips, he would play Santa Claus down in there was a Woolworth and there was a town called White Plains, New York. It was a huge, and he would play Santa Claus. I was really taken by that.
Wow.
He never had any kids of his own, he and his wife. But I was always taken by that. As a matter of fact, I thought about him when that show you just alluded to, that Christmas show,
yes.
When I put on that Santa Claus outfit.
One thing I want to know from you, Gavin, is who do you miss most this time of year?
I miss my mother. My mother passed away about 3 years ago at the age of 97.
Hmm.
And it's the darndest thing. Here I am. I'm 76 now. But I flash on my mom more now than even when she was here. When she was here the last 3 years of her life, she really didn't know people, and she was like that, you know. But when I flash, I wind up at nighttime just thinking about my mother, but when she was younger. I guess it's because my dad died when he was 39, she was 39, it was like mother and I for the rest of our lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we were very, very tight. And I just thank the Lord that I was able to buy her a condo at one particular time, you know, and then to bring her out to the West Coast and take care of her for the rest of her days. And that was only a blessing from the Lord to have that kind of a financial situation, you know.
Sure.
But I do. I miss her. I miss and miss and miss her.
What are you looking forward to this Christmas?
Well, this Christmas I look forward to my wife's health getting better, and we praise God for that, and being with some of the children I'm going to be with this year that I haven't been able to be with for a few years.
Oh, that's great.
If I tell you something I just did this year that I'm so proud of all the things I've ever done on film, nothing has ever affected me like this picture I just did.
Tell us about that.
We shot it in Rochester, New York. It's called The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. And it was done. Did you ever see a movie I made called Time Changer?
I don't think I did.
I'll have to try to get that to you. If you call back or let your people call back with your address, I'll get that to you.
We did
that about 4 or 5 years ago, and it brought so many people to the Lord. Huh. And so Rich Cristiano, who wrote and directed that one, wrote this piece for me. And it's about an older man in a little small town, and we shot it outside of Rochester, New York, and in Holly, New York, and Rockport, New York. It was just so beautiful. It takes place in 1970. It's a simple, beautiful film of the effect of an older man who was a widower on four boys who are 13 years old. And he gets a chance to teach them the Bible and change their lives. And Robert Guillaume is in it with me. You know Robert?
Yes.
Oh, he's just incredible, and he's in that picture. And we have some young people, and one is Jensen Pantieri, whose sister is very big on Heroes now. If you've ever seen that series, Heroes.
The
little blonde, wonderful actress. Well, this is her younger brother, and he is really going to go places. And then another guy named Frankie Ryan, he wants to be a pastor when he grows up. Just, you know, I work with Bing Crosby and all of them, all those. I never, ever had a movie where I could speak God's word. And I have to tell you, I'm very anxious to see this. As a matter of fact, what they're going to do with this, and in case anybody's listening, it's going to be in the area of Boston on March 21st to the 23rd, from Good Friday to Easter. There's a guy named Tom Sabb who's in real estate, and he's renting a big theater there. He's done this for the past 2 or 3 years. Well, he will show inspirational films free. And people can come
Good
and they
him.
Can see these films. So they're going to show Time Changer and The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry twice each day. And I'm going to be there to greet people
that's
and
fantastic.
Do all that. I'm so proud of this movie. And it's called The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. And I'm going to go any place I can go to tell people about it, because I really think it's probably the most worthwhile thing on film I've ever done.
Good for you. Good for you. It is so good to hear your passion. Folks, on the phone with Gavin McLeod, the one and only. And you know what, Gavin, can you hang on for a second? Let's do something fun here just for
sure.
A second. I want to put you on hold.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to call John Schneider.
Oh, yes.
And I want to put the two of you together on the phone.
Okay.
because John and you are from the same, you're from both from Mount Kisco.
Well, no, we were both born in the same hospital.
Same hospital.
But many years difference, of course.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say. Come on.
He's older than I am.
Let me try this. I don't know how it'll work. I'm not good with technology, but we'll give it a whirl, okay?
Okay, that'd be great.
Hold on a second, Gavin. Hold on. All right, let's phone John Schneider here, folks.
Hello.
I'm looking for John Schneider.
Well, by golly, let me see if I can find him.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Merry Christmas. You're on the air. We just thought we'd go right to you right away.
Terrific. Terrific.
Hey, listen, hold on a quick second, John. I just want to, I've got to do something technical here. Can you hold on a second?
Oh, wow. That could take longer than a second if it was me.
Let me see if I can do this right, okay? Yeah, John, I'd like to introduce you to Gavin McLeod. Gavin McLeod, John Schneider.
I know Gavin McLeod.
Well, I'm glad you're back in town.
Hey, Gavin, how are you?
I'm good. I was with Ellie for the Pepperdine function this year.
She told me.
She looked so great. She was the best model of them all.
Well, she's pretty hot.
She was telling me about you doing your movie down in Florida or someplace down south.
I was down there, yep, and finishing up another one today, and then I'm going to New York to do Chicago.
Oh, man, that you better get your taps on.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah.
Excuse me, can I just interrupt the conversation here?
Sorry. Hi.
Is he really going to go to Chicago? Hey, John.
Yeah.
Drew, can you find out the dates he's going to be in Chicago?
Ask him right now.
Oh, what day?
January 14th through March 16th. I'll be there.
January 14th through March 16th?
16th. I'll be there, yep. January, February, March, yep.
And you're going to be in the production of Chicago.
Yes, I'm in the production of Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could just imagine him. They've been using a lot of movie stars. Now that you're in it, I may get back to New York just to see you in it.
Well, we
saw the original when it was first done. Then we saw this when this started about 5 years ago before they made the movie. Oh, John, that's going to be great.
Yeah, it should be a whole lot of fun. I'm hoping to do that and get enough heat about it that I can do what I really want to do, which is I'd love to film. Here, this is brand new thought. Film Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
The musical.
Yeah.
You are perfect
for
that.
You should be in it. Well, so are you.
What about me? Is there a role for me in there?
Oh, yeah, you're perfect, too.
Yeah.
I'm good for the Gloria Swanson part. I'm that old. But, John, that's fabulous. That, man.
Right, I was talking to my son. My son, Chasen, is a big musical nut. He goes to a great camp up in Washington State every year. And we saw Sweeney Todd last night. And I was thinking this morning.
Yeah.
Because, Drew, when you called me, I was listening to Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what you were listening to.
You should do it with Glenn Close.
Yeah. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to because it'd be a wonderful story. It started as a movie. It moved to a Broadway musical production and then have it come back as a musical film.
You know, if you know who could do this?
Who's that?
Those two guys that do the musicals. They did Chicago. I don't know if they did Sweeney Todd. Craig something. We're on the air now. We should be doing this. But
they do Hairspray?
They're two guys, and they did Music Man on television. They with Broderick, Matthew Broderick. Then they did Annie, I think, on the television version with Carol Burnett. And they did Chicago. They produced Chicago.
Yep, there we go.
They should do this for you. You know, my wife keeps saying, John Schneider has got more talent, more looks than anybody. And I always keep saying, I know. And we just want you to be the biggest star there could be.
Wait a minute. Ellie has to say hi to Gavin. You are on the radio, by the way, Ellie.
Hi, Gavin. I had so much fun with you at the charity event. Yeah. Thank you
so much
for being here.
It's true, Ellie. And going to my doctor, I drove past that street that you're on, and I said, Patty, they live in one of these houses. I don't know which one it is. But anyway, we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, Gavin. God bless you.
She's so beautiful.
Oh.
What a lucky guy he is. But he's still here to listen, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still...
Well, listen, I don't want to take up John Schneider's time.
No.
Oh, now this is so exciting. I'm going to get the ball going with people talking about it.
Because
I saw Glenn Close do that on the stage out here.
Oh, yeah, I saw Rex Smith do sunset. But where are you right now, Gavin?
I'm at home at Pacific Palisades.
Okay, there we go. There, yeah. We're Palisades Amusement Park.
John, I'm the honorary mayor here now.
Wrong end.
Yeah, but you still can't get a parking place.
Yeah, there we go.
Nobody respects anybody.
It's a Giant Carol in Toronto.
Yes, okay.
Glenn Close to it when it opened on Broadway. I saw Glenn Close to it. Amazing show. I'm not sure really quite why it's not still going.
Well, beats me. Well, it needs you in it. That's what it needs.
Well, listen,
That's the missing piece.
Well, Amick did it for a long time.
Drew,
sorry, Drew.
Didn't you used to have a radio program?
Listen, John, I wish you...
Oh my!
I think you're finished with me.
No, but Gavin, before you go, seriously, with John Schneider on the phone, John and I want to ask you, along with all of our listeners, and this is very serious, how can we pray for you? We know that there's some health stuff going on in your family, and all of our listeners, including John Schneider, we want to know how to pray for you over this Christmas.
Well, you could just pray for my wife, that she has a speedy recovery. We have a series of things that have to be done, and it's going to take a few months, and we just pray that the Lord's hand will be on all of these things that have to be done to her body, and that her mind, this depression, anxiety that she's in, the Lord will just take that in a flash. I know we can do it. I mean, I just saw a woman healed the other night who was in a wheelchair for 3 years after she gave birth to a baby in Venezuela, and all of a sudden she stood up, and I told my wife, I said, if he can do that, he can do you, and I know he's going to heal her, but if people would just pray for a speedy recovery for Patty, and that the Lord will keep his hands on her, and I keep telling her that she is going through all these things because he's got a mighty work for her to do after she gets completely healed. And she's a vivacious person, but all of that has gone now. And we need the Lord.
Gavin, we love you. Instead of doing what we normally do, which is, you know what, thanks for telling us how we can pray for you, and then we move on in life, and sometimes we get around. Let's pray for you right now. Can we, John, would you mind if we did that?
I think that'd be great.
Wow. So, Gavin, let's pray for Patty right now. I'll just do the honors if you don't mind. Lord, again, we humbly come to you, but we boldly come to you.
Yes, Jesus.
Because you've allowed us to come boldly before you because of Christ, not because of us in any way. And I don't know what kind of healing. Well, you know what? Let's not mince words here, Lord. We'd like a physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. We'd like the whole thing for Patty. Please, God, if you could. Do whatever you do best in Patty's life, and especially so that you can get the credit. And I mean, I've heard Gavin go on and on and on about you. He obviously loves you, and he obviously loves his wife. So in the name of Jesus, will you please heal Patty? Will you bless this family?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, John.
Gavin, I appreciate your time, mate. I really do. And Merry Christmas to you.
I wish you all a blessed Christmas. John, I hope to see you. I'll try to see you in Chicago. If not, I'm going to go see Ellie.
Please do.
All right, Gavin. Merry Christmas, mate. Hang in there, John.
Thank
we'll
you,
be right
Drew.
With you.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.